joining us on the telephone line this afternoon. Michael Hurley of CBS Boston WBZ joins us, taking time out from his ongoing battle with a national not-to-be-named flooring company.
Yeah, it's unpleasant, I will say, but I'm ready for a long war. If anyone knows anything about me, it's that I can really hunker down and really commit to something for a very long time. So we'll see how this one shakes out. But yeah, I'm currently the very small ant getting crushed by the large company.
So they stiffed you on sign. Now they want your money too. What's going on? What are the details of this?
They already have some of my money. And I've taken that as a sunk cost at this point, and I want it to end. They're saying, no, you're going to give us all of the money, even though we've done the work for you. So it's one of those lovely encounters. I would recommend, go local whenever possible. Deal with human beings. That's my takeaway.
Apparently they have no idea of the work you did covering Deflategate, and that while you may not be an actual attorney, you have played one on TV.
Yeah, and that's the tricky thing. My area of legal expertise, such as it is in one very, very small, unique area of the law, which isn't even really part of the law. It's so finite, and it's really not helping me. I thought I might have a little something, but I don't know. We'll have to depend on the professionals on this one.
All right, well, we wish you luck with all of that. What's going on in the hopeful sports world? Who's coming back first, if any, professional league?
Well, I don't think baseball is happening. I just don't. Mostly because of baseball players, but also because of baseball owners. I don't think those two sides are seeing it the way that most of us see it. And it's a labor battle. It's a CBA. It's a revenue sharing. I mean, I think both sides are ridiculous, if I want to be honest. I mean, the players acting as though they made a concession to take a prorated salary, that is not a concession. If I'm doing half the work, I should get half the pay. They're saying, well, we already agreed to that, and that was a concession. Not really. But at the same time, the owner is saying, oh, we're going to lose $60,000 every game. It's like, well, you've been making what profits for 25, 30 years, however long you've owned the team every night? So it's like, it's not really a loss, is it? It's just sort of a dent to your overall profits. So I think both sides are absurd. I actually kind of feel like baseball will fail at getting back, which is ridiculous, but and I think it will fail for reasons outside of the virus, which reasons like that we can understand. I think it will just be, litigation and CBAs and union and the league. So I feel like the NBA will figure it out because they have good leadership. They have players that want to play. They have people involved. They have sort of a simpler sport than, say, like ice hockey. So I'm going with the NBA. I'm feeling very comfortable that they'll be back.
Yeah, and this whole idea of being in some kind of a bubble down at Disney World makes sense to me.
Doesn't it kind of seem like a nightmare, though? Like, no one's going to feel bad for these guys. They have to go back to work and make money and compete for a title. But going to live in Orlando in July and August, in the hottest months of the year, at the happiest place on earth with nobody at it, where you can't even do the amusements, you can't get the most out of it, that sounds rough. But I do think the NBA players will persevere.
As far as the Patriots go, I think no matter what happens, because of the sheer volume of money that's involved, there will be some kind of NFL season.
Yeah, the one thing you have to give credit to the NFL is they have years of experience of ignoring everything else going on outside of their own little NFL bubble. No matter what criticisms they might be taking, no matter what they might be doing wrong, they just plow ahead. They put their head down, and they're just the NFL. They're an unstoppable locomotive. So I think that's what's going to happen. I saw today the Steelers sold half their tickets instead of all their tickets as some sort of, I would be shocked to have stadiums full, but who knows where this is going to move in the next July, August, into September. I feel like the NFL will happen, but that is, of all the sports where viruses and everything can pass with ease, it would be the one where they slam faces into each other every single snap across the field. So that one's going to be tough. You got 90 guys in the locker room and training camp, down to 53 is still a lot when the season starts. So that one's tricky. I thought back to when the MRSA got in the Tampa Bay Bucks locker room, and I think the Giants had an issue with it too. Things like that can spread very easily in a NFL locker room, and it's really not like baseball or basketball. You like show up with your uniform on and get to work. Football is a little bit different, so definitely a little bit I would have my stress level a little high if I were running things there.
Well, and Bill Belichick is an older coach. He's certainly in a more at-risk bracket. So what does he do, send his son to talk to the team?
Maybe. Belichick has, talk about the old dog and new tricks. The man has just embraced the video conferencing. He is not shy. If the league is doing something that is complicated to make things harder, he is not shy about letting that be known. And he had no complaints about the draft, which he had to do via a conference call with three different ones, with some with this group, some with the scouts. They had to make calls to sign all the undrafted free agents, and he didn't have really an issue with it. He seemed pretty happy with the whole process. So maybe he'll hologram into the meeting room like Tupac, and just be as normal. He could record it and then just head to Nantucket early. Like it might be a net benefit for him in the long run.
Now, there you go. If they play, assuming they play, will this team be any good?
I mean, they're not going to be. And I came off the Last Dance last Sunday night when that ended. And I noticed it said, the Bulls went into rebuild. It's like, well, they never did get around to rebuilding, did they, after moving on from Michael Jordan. They won 13 games the next year. I think they won 50 total games in the next three seasons combined. So it made you think, the Patriots better not fall into that hole after moving on from the greatest of all time as well. But the difference, obviously, is that they do have Belichick and not Tim Floyd coming in to replace the show. So that, I mean, it is harder, to be honest, to see the Patriots going better than 9-7 next year. I think that's an optimistic viewpoint just because of the schedule, because their offense wasn't very good last year. I don't see it as significantly better. It might be the same. And the defense is going to get a little bit worse. You're going to go from having the best defense in the league to, I don't know, maybe the fifth or sixth, which, could cost you a game here or there. So, I don't know. It's tricky. I always expected, someday if they move on from Tom Brady, the master plan would show itself and they'd have all sorts of room to make moves. It would be clear that they were in line to sort of seamlessly transition out. I have not seen that this offseason. They've operated with no cap space. They didn't get any quarterbacks. They didn't even draft a quarterback. Maybe they love their guy, but to come off of last year to have something like $26 million in dead money on the cap, 13 of which is going to the quarterback you don't have anymore, it's not the master plan I envisioned. So if Belichick can pull this one off, I will be a little bit surprised. By pull it off, I mean 10-11 wins.
Now, there are also opportunities here for new guys to be embraced by the fans, and he wrote about one of them. Very interesting piece about, I don't know, do we call him Danny V instead of Dickie V?
Yeah, Danny Vitale. He actually, Mike Reese asked him on the conference call, hey, is it Dan or Danny? Because you never want to call a grown man Danny if he doesn't want to be called Danny. But he said, no, I'm Danny. It's a family name. So it's like his grandfather had it, so he had to go by Danny. But I think he's a potential fan favorite because everyone loves James Devlin, and James Devlin was obviously immense in what he did. I think Danny Vitale isn't quite the blocker that Devlin was, but he's still a good blocker, and he's a lot more of a receiver. So he's going to be, open in the flat, getting the ball in his hand with space to run over some cornerbacks and safeties, just plow people into the dirt. I think it seems like the Patriots are going to really develop that position because they also drafted Dalton Keene, who's sort of that move tight end, H-back type, where it's a versatile position. It's going to be hard to defend against. It's not the same at all as in 2010 when they drafted Gronkowski and Hernandez and really centered their offense on tight ends over 2 years. But I think it's a similar idea where they get two guys to do similar but different jobs that are going to be. And I think if you're a young quarterback like Jared Stidham, it's a lot easier to see the field from the inside out. So if you have reliable players inside the numbers that you know what they're doing, how they're doing it, what they're going against certain defenses, it makes playing the position a little bit easier. So I think it's no coincidence that they have guys like that to sort of, I think, help sit him along as he, what lays out a new an offense that New England hasn't run ever.
We're talking with Michael Hurley here on Downtown. You mentioned the Jordan documentary, The Last Dance. For something in which he had a great deal of creative control and you assume put out there the image he wanted to have, I found it a little bit depressing. To me, he came out of this as sort of a sad character.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It makes you wonder what they left out, if that's everything that made it in. It's sort of reminiscent of his Hall of Fame speech. Remember, his Hall of Fame speech was basically, I don't know how familiar you are with Mean Girls, but it was basically he just got up there and read his burn book. This person
right.
came in 1977, and this person did me bad in 1981, and he just sort of keeps that deep down. It obviously made him what he is, but in his 50s, late 50s now, I would hope he could sort of navigate himself out of that, the torment that is constantly being slighted and constantly needing to prove people wrong. But, I mean, that is how you win 6 titles in 8 years, and really 6 and 7. So it was interesting. It was educating. I'm not sure I'd watch 10 parts under normal circumstances, non-quarantine times, but it was definitely fascinating. I do have to say, for Brady to be getting one next year, seems a little quick because he'll still be playing, but yeah. What are you going to do?
Are you going to watch any of this Brady-Phil-Tiger-Peyton golf match over the weekend?
I will. I watched last weekend's, which was good golf, but those guys weren't exactly, you know, the strongest personalities out there on the course. It was pretty boring from that aspect. I think these guys will at least try to be entertaining. I don't know if it'll be a bunch of dad jokes. I don't know how PC they'll be. But a real interesting aspect is, similar to the Jordan, you know, being extremely competitive thing, how's Brady going to handle it if he's, you know, down two with two to play? Like, well, like, how's he going to handle that sort of level? It's on TV. Millions of people are watching. His biggest rival ever is there. Granted, it's not his sport, but it should make for some pretty interesting TV. And plus, it's an excuse. We've been sorely lacking excuses to just sit there and fall into a puddle on the couch on Sunday afternoon. So yeah. I'll take any opportunity I can get these days.
I do miss that. Absolutely. I'm Michael Hurley, CBS Boston. Always good to talk with you, Michael. Appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll check in again with you soon.
Always a pleasure. Next time I'll have an update on my flooring situation.
All right.
For sure.
Put the wood to him, okay?
I will.
All right. That's bad. I apologize. Michael Hurley with us on Downtown.